Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to Galatians chapter 5. Now, if that sounds familiar, that's because this is exactly where we were last week when I told you that we were going to be wrapping up our time in the book of Galatians. I didn't purposely mean to lie to you. Let me just say that up front, right? Here's the thing. When we seek to be people who follow Jesus, we discover that things don't always go the way we planned or thought they were going to go. Sometimes Jesus chooses to zig when we thought he was going to zag, right? And this is what happened to me in this past week. I had every intention this week to jump into Ephesians, the next book in the Bible in our series that we're going through now titled The Bible, A True Story. But it was Monday afternoon where the Lord, as I was starting to kind of prep and prepare and make sure I was ready for my message, that the Lord kind of threw me a little curveball. And I realized that it was something he had actually been processing over the past week. If you remember last week, we talked about true freedom. What does true freedom look like? And if you weren't here last week, I would really encourage you to go back and to listen or watch that message. But in that message, we talked about the desires of the flesh, our worldly desires, things like sexual immorality, things like idolatry, hatred, jealousy, selfishness, drunkenness, and a whole bunch more. But then we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, where we talked about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We talked about the fact that it's God's desire for us to walk in the things of the Spirit and not the things of the flesh. And so in the midst of writing that message last week and then sharing it on Sunday, I found myself over this time having numerous conversations with many different people about this idea of feeding the Spirit versus feeding the flesh. And it reminded me of a series that I did years ago. I looked up. I was trying to find back when I did this. I did this series back in 2013 on the fruit of the Spirit. And so Monday afternoon, as I was praying, as I was processing, I felt like the Lord was telling me I wasn't supposed to jump into Ephesians today, but rather stop here in Galatians 5 and spend some time focusing on the fruit of the Spirit. And so I think most of you know that one of our core values here at Dallas Four Square Church is something called obedience, right? So we're going to be obedient this morning and take some time to stop and look at this fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about here in Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to allow God to just kind of show us how we can see this kind of fruit more in our lives. Because who doesn't want love, right? Who doesn't want joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Who doesn't want these things in their lives? We all need more of this kind of fruit in our lives. Now, last week we talked about this battle between the Spirit and the flesh that continues to go on. And that's really what I want to focus on as we step into a little series within a series, right? We're still in the Bible, A True Story, but we're going to do a little series within the series that I've titled Feeding the Dogs. Now, this title comes from the idea of the Spirit and the flesh being compared to these two dogs that battle for our loyalty, that are battling for our lives. The spiritual life is this proud and noble breed, right? The kind of breed all of us want to be. The life of the flesh is this mangy mongrel of a mutt that really we do not want to be. And so the big question is, which one will we feed, right? Which one will we feed? And which one then will we starve? The one we feed, it's going to grow. The one we starve is going to weaken. And God's desire is that we would feed the things of the Spirit so that we can see the fruit of the Spirit grow in our lives. And I know some of you are like, oh, I like the mangy. This one has rabies and it will bite you and kill you, okay? So just remember that. That's a good little lesson when you just hear that, right? It's funny, I didn't even think of that. This is all the Lord right this moment. Because a lot of times we're like, oh, but the mangy mongrel is so cute and I like the mangy mongrel, right? I mean, a little sin isn't too bad, is it? And then we get bit and we become rabid and we die. Is that what we want? I don't think so. So anyways, the one we feed is going to grow. The one we starve is going to weaken. And God's desire is that we'd feed the things of the Spirit so that we can see those things grow in our life. But here's the thing. Here's the thing we have to understand. One way or another, our lives are going to bear some sort of fruit. The question is, what kind of fruit is it that we are going to produce? Because Matthew 7:17 tells us, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. What kind of fruit are we going to bear? You see, because a tree rooted in the Spirit is going to bear the good fruit that God desires from our life. It's going to produce the fruit of the Spirit, while a tree rooted in the flesh is going to bear bad fruit. It's going to bear the desires of the flesh that we talked about last week and a little bit earlier. And God's desire for us is to be people who bear good, wonderful fruit. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to Galatians 5, 22 through 25. It's a short section of Scripture. Actually, I'm going to put it on the screen this morning if you want to follow along. We read it last week, but it says this, beginning in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us keep feeding the Spirit. Now, when we look at this Scripture, we find that the fruit of the Spirit can actually be broken down to three different groups. John Stott, who is a well-known pastor in England and a worldwide leader in the evangelical movement, he said this, the fruit of the Spirit portrays a Christian's attitude towards God, towards others, and towards themselves. And so if you break these nine characteristics down, what he is saying is that love, joy, and peace, those three, they show our attitude towards God. Patience, kindness, and goodness, those show our attitude towards other people. And then faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control actually show our attitude towards ourselves, our own life. And here's the thing. Attitude is one of the most important factors in determining the direction that our lives are going to go and determining the fruit that we're going to see in our lives. Our attitude and how we approach things can make all the difference in the world, right? Harry Emerson Fosdick, a well-known pastor and theologian from the early 1900s, once told how, as a child, his mother sent him to pick a quart of raspberries. Now, reluctantly, he dragged himself to the berry patch. His afternoon was ruined for sure, he first thought. But then an idea hit him. What if I surprise my mom and I pick two quarts instead of one quart? That simple change in attitude turned his drudgery into a fun challenge. And he enjoyed picking those raspberries so much that 50 years later, that incident was still fresh on his mind as he would share that story. Now, the job or chore hadn't changed, right? But his attitude about the chore did. And that ultimately changed everything, right? Our attitude is huge, and it plays a huge role in who we are and how we live our lives. And so over the next 9 weeks, right? We thought we were done in Galatians, but we got another 9 weeks here in Galatians. Over the next 9 weeks, we're going to take a look at 9 deadly attitudes. Attitudes that will feed the dog of the flesh. Attitudes that can actually destroy our relationship with the Lord and with others. But you see, what we're going to do is we're going to compare those deadly attitudes to one of the fruits of the Spirit that will help us come against that attitude. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at the attitude of the egotist. That person with that ego, right? The attitude of the egotist is an attitude that says, I'm everything, right? It's all about me. And the sad thing is, we actually see this attitude at times all around us. You know, I was a Marine, and I'm proud that we are the United States of America, right? But the sad thing is, we act oftentimes like the entitled states of America. We believe that the rest of the world revolves around us. Why? Because we're this great power. Everyone should bow to us. We have taken on the attitude of the egotist. And the egotist makes decisions based on themselves and how it will affect them. It doesn't care about others. They're driven by self. Anything they do is done out of selfishness, out of self-gratification, to make ourselves look good, to exalt ourselves. And here's the thing, if there are no rewards or accolades for what they do, then the egotist isn't going to do it. You see, that the egotist is what we would call a relational parasite. Their relationships are based off manipulation, what they can get from the other person. And if they can't get anything out of that relationship, or when the well runs dry from that relationship, what do? They simply move on to the next person. The egotist, it's incapable of sacrifice. And any sacrifices they make are based off their motivation for themselves, for attention, or for their own rewards. These are the characteristics of the egotistic attitude. And as bad and as horrible as those things sound, right? Because we go, oh, wow, that is bad. The truth is, many of us exhibit some of these characteristics at times in our own lives. And I'm pointing the finger at myself here, okay? I'm pointing the finger at myself in this situation. As prideful people, and especially I think sometimes as prideful, arrogant Americans, it's pretty easy for us to get caught up in our own little world. What works for me? What's best for me? It's easy to make it all about me. And it's funny as I say that, there's an old worship song that we sang years ago, man. I think it was like 15, 20 years ago when we used to sing this song. And it's a song, the title of the song is, It's All About You, right? And we're singing it to Jesus. It's all about you. And the bridge in this song goes something like this. It says, it's not about me, as if you should do things my way. You alone are God, and I surrender, right? And again, forgive my, I probably hacked that up completely. But those are the correct lyrics, right? And that's how that song should be sung. It's singing it to the Lord. But when that song was popular, I used to sing it, and not just when it was popular, I still sing it oftentimes today in a little different way to my wife and to my family. Oftentimes I sing it this way. It's all about me, right? As if we should do things your way. It's me, it's only me. It's all about me. And here's the thing. It's easy to laugh at that. But oftentimes, that's how we act or feel. And sometimes We don't even realize it. We don't even realize that's how we're acting. But the egotistic attitude is only going to continue to feed the desires of the flesh. It's only going to feed that mangy, rabbit-infested mongrel. Which is why we have to come to the realization that it isn't all about me. That the world doesn't revolve around us. And I've said this before, but it's that line. Yes, God made you special, and He loves you very much, right? For those of you that grew up with VeggieTales or had your kids watch VeggieTales, Bob and Larry would say that all the time, right? God made you special, and He loves you very much. And it's true, right? But the reality is, He loves everybody. And everybody is special to Him. It doesn't mean we're better than the person to the left or to the right of us, in front of us, behind us. It just means that we should be thankful that God loves us and that He walks in grace and mercy and pours His mercy upon us in our shortcomings and failures. Can I get an amen, right? And we should be thankful because this world does not revolve around us, but it does revolve around Him. It does revolve around God. We were created to glorify Him. And the fruit of the Spirit is what helps us do that. The fruit of the Spirit that helps us come against this deadly attitude of the egotist is the fruit known as love. Love battles the egotistic attitude. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5 reminds us that when it says this, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. This picture here of love in 1 Corinthians 13 puts others first, right? It's the kind of love that says, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's about His kingdom. It's about others. Love helps us to adjust our attitude, right? It changes the motive behind what we're doing. Our story earlier of little Harry, right? Going to pick raspberries. It's a great illustration of this. At first he was angry. At first he was upset because he didn't want to go and pick raspberries. His attitude at first, it was selfish. It was all about him. It was all about what he wanted to do. But what happened? His motives changed, right? He thinks about what a blessing and surprise it would be for his mom if he went above and beyond her expectations and picked double what she asked for. His motive there, his love for his mom made all the difference in the world for little Harry. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, what are our motives? And we have to ask ourselves, in all areas, every single area of our life, every single thing we do, why do we do what we do? And here's an interesting one. Why do we fight for what we fight for? Is it for others? Is it out of our love for Jesus? Or is it all about us? Is it for ourselves? There's a lot of fighting out there in our world that is said to be for Jesus. I'm fighting for Jesus and for His rights and kingdom and all these things, right? When in reality, it's the egotist inside of us that's what's really is shining through. as we're actually fighting for our own desires, what we think should go on, what we think should happen in our world. As Christians, when we fight for things, we really need to stop and make sure our motives are right. Because there are times where we're going to fight. We fight for things, but we need to make sure that our motives are right. Is this something God is saying, I want you to fight for? Because a lot of times we fight for God and He's like, I didn't ask you to do that. I don't know what you're fighting for, but you're not fighting for me, right? We need to make sure that above anything else, our motive is love, that we're operating in love. I know I've shared this from the pulpit a lot this year, probably more than I have the previous 9 years of our existence, but I can't deny that I struggle with the political battles we're seeing right now in our world. And really not just in our world, not just in our country, but in our churches as well. Because whether someone swings to the left or whether someone swings to the right, I have to admit, doesn't really matter to me. I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, somewhere in between. It doesn't matter. Because honestly, I think every side is messed up. Every side has their positives, and every side definitely has their negatives. We are all imperfect people. None of us have it all right. But regardless of which way we swing politically, we can't forget what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:3 when he says this: if I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't have love, I've got nowhere. You hear that? If I don't have love, I've got nowhere. You see, it doesn't matter what we fight for if we aren't doing it out of the love of Jesus. If my motivation isn't love, then it means absolutely nothing. See, Christianity is not an agenda for political activity. Christianity, being a Christian, having Jesus in our heart, is a power that radically changes the human heart. If I say I'm a Christian, I've got Jesus in my life, which means my heart needs to begin to change. Being a Christian is about the power of the Holy Spirit coming into our heart and radically changing who we are forever. It's about getting rid of the old, the ugly, egotistical desires of the flesh, and then putting on the new that God has called us to. It's clothing ourselves with the things of Christ. And the first thing that we need to put on as we say yes to Jesus is His love. The first thing we need to focus on as followers of Jesus is learning to love like Jesus loved. Because if we love like Jesus loved, we have the power to change the world. Going off notes here for a minute, but I don't know how many of you have watched The Chosen. It's an amazing series on the life of Jesus through the book of John. I had my physical therapist tell me about it, and then Craig mentioned it to all of our men at our men's group, and I started watching it. Where there's 1.5 series, right, or 1.5 years right now, or seasons, excuse me, 1.5 seasons right now that you can watch. Matter of fact, there's an episode coming out today. I'm not a big fan a lot of times of Jesus videos and things like that, right? Because a lot of times it looks nothing like the Jesus that I imagine when I read His scriptures. But I got to tell you, this The Chosen, there's some liberties in this, and you know, it follows the scriptures, but there's stories that we don't know in the Bible that they take liberties to add some different characteristics to the different disciples and things and stuff like that. But one of the things, when I watch the guy that plays Jesus in this series, I think, man, That is the picture that I think of Jesus. The way and these scriptures, they've done such an amazing job of truly loving people, showing God's grace and mercy. Time and time again, the disciples, we should do this, Jesus, we got to do this. And Jesus is like, oh, really? Yeah, I don't think that's the plan. Get used to different, right? We have to get used to different because we for so long did it one way, but God's saying this is not his desire for our lives. If we can learn to love like Jesus, we have the power to change the world. Now, I'm going to say something here. I'll probably get myself in trouble, but I have to admit, I have a Facebook page, okay? I'm like everybody else. But the only reason I have a Facebook page is because it enables me to stay connected with people that I otherwise wouldn't be able to stay connected with. I shared a story a few weeks back of one of my old youth who's now like 36 years old who contacted me and we had this great conversation. Well, he connected with me through Facebook. He probably wouldn't be able to get a hold of me without Facebook. And so that's the only reason I keep Facebook and just the fact that we have a Dallas page to put our sermons and stuff on. But let me just tell you this. There are times when I wish that I could pull the plug, not just on my Facebook, on the whole system, on all social media, because it's become a platform for so many people to tell others how messed up they are, right? And here's the sad thing is they wouldn't say it to your face because they're too afraid, but they can say it on Facebook and put it out there for the whole world to know. And the sad thing for me is when I see Christians as the ones who are demeaning others and engaging in this, I'm right, you're wrong, God's on my side, you're going to hell mentality. That this attitude of the egotist is hate anything that isn't about what you're about or what you think is right. And that's what happens when self gets in the way. Self starts to play God and thinks, well, I know better than God, right? And honestly, the way many people respond and act on social media is not at all the way I think Jesus would act. If Jesus walked this earth and had Facebook, I can guarantee you his Facebook page wouldn't look like a lot of people. As a matter of fact, Jesus probably would not have Facebook. And the reason I believe this is because when I look at the life of Jesus through the scriptures, when I look at the life that he led through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the stories that the disciples and these apostles share, when I look at the life of Jesus, what I see is a God of love, a God of grace, a God of mercy. And the few times that he does speak harshly in the scriptures were actually to the religious leaders, these people who should have known better, these people who were using the religious rites to push other people down. You know, we talk about how messed up our world is today, and believe me, it's messed up. But things really aren't that different than when Jesus walked the earth. The Roman Empire was full of lawless, sinful people, just like we see throughout our world today. And when I look at the scriptures, Jesus wasn't out with his signs telling people they're idiots, you know, for wearing their mask or not wearing their mask. He wasn't out telling people how messed up their political views were. And he wasn't preaching at sinners, telling them that they were going to burn in hell for their sins. Instead, he was out showing love and compassion to all people, and especially the very people that the religious leaders wouldn't even go near. He was meeting people in their brokenness and letting them know that he cared about who they were as a person. He cared more about that than he did their political views or ideology. He was out demonstrating his unconditional love for all people. And all I know is that we're called to follow his example. We're called to be like Jesus. We're called to love like Jesus loved. When we look at our own lives, we have to ask ourselves, Which dog here are we feeding? Are we feeding the dog of the flesh? Or are we feeding the dog of the Spirit? And a great way to answer that question is to be honest with ourselves and look at what kind of fruit our life is producing. Are we seeing more of His love, where we're learning to put Him and to put others before ourselves? Are we seeing more of the flesh? Because God's desire is that we would grow in His Spirit, that the fruit of His Spirit would be a part of who we are, that we would become the men and women that He desires us to be. And I think if we can learn to live like little Harry from our story earlier, right? We won't just be doing what God wants us to do, right? Because at first it's like, He went there, I got to do this because my mom told me to do it, right? And a lot of times that's how we serve the Lord. Well, I got to do this because the Bible tells me I got to serve the Lord. I got to do it. If I don't do it, I might go to hell. I mean, that's how a lot of times we live our lives. But instead, we need to be living in a way where we want to serve God. Like little Harry, we want to surprise Him. We want to go above and beyond what He desires of us. We want to bless Him. We want Him to go, oh my goodness, well done, good and faithful servant. It's all about attitude. And we have to ask ourselves, are we living the attitude of the egotist, or are we walking in love and learning to live with the attitude of Jesus? Because if we can learn to feed the things of the Spirit instead of the desires of the flesh, then we're going to become more and more like Jesus in the way that He's called us to. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. And Lord, I know today I get passionate, I get excited, and I'm speaking to myself as well, because I know I can get caught off guard. I can make it about me. I can make it about what I think is right instead of seeking You, instead of trying to see things from both perspectives and just learning how to love people right where they're at. Not trying to change them, not trying to make them more like me, but just learning to love people the way You love people. I think of the words of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders. Why does your teacher eat with sinners and prostitutes? Lord, you came and you didn't judge people on the spot. You saw beyond the failures. You saw beyond the weaknesses. And You loved people because You created them and You knew who they could become. What if we live life that way, Lord? Not judging people, not thinking about ourselves, what we think someone should be or shouldn't be, but just learning how to love people. Meeting them in their brokenness in the same way that You met us, Lord. Loving on them and loving in a way that draws them to You instead of repels them from You, Lord. I hate to admit it, Lord, but as Christians so often we push people away from You more than we draw people to You. And that's not Your desire, and that's not what I want, Lord. And I hope that's not the desire of any of us here, Lord. We want to be people who learn to love You. Love like You love. Get excited about the things that You got excited about. So that we can see Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, Lord, I give this word to You this morning. As we dive into the fruit of the Spirit, as we dive into these deadly attitudes of sin, Lord, we want to identify these things in our lives. We want to seek to change them and seek to feed the things of the Spirit so that we can grow and produce the fruit that You desire from our lives. And so I thank you for this word. I just pray that you allow it to speak to each of us right where we're at. Lord, what is it that you want to speak to me today? What is it that you're challenging in me, Lord, that I need to change, that I need to work on? And so, Lord, help me just to receive your love so that I can learn to love like you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this message. We give it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.